start with a little audience participation if we could. I will say, He is risen, and you will say, He is risen indeed. He is risen. Okay, now pretend you're at an Iowa Hawkeyes football game. He is risen. Very good, very good. I see we have a lot of Hawkeye fans. Maybe we should try it with Michigan State fans. Probably not, right? Because there's only one here. I'm glad that you chose to spend Easter with us here this morning in the Lord's house, and very thankful that you're here with us. Next week, we are starting a new series entitled Hopeless. Maybe right now in your life, you feel like there are some things that are never going to change, that they will always be the same, and you are at a point where you just feel like things are hopeless. And if that's how you're feeling, this next series that we're going to kick off next Sunday, Hopeless is for you, and we will be in the book of Ruth. And so if you want to kind of get a jump on that series and prepare for that series, you can read the book of Ruth. Today's message is entitled Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And I don't know about you, but the thing I need the most is forgiveness. The thing that I need the most is forgiveness. I long for forgiveness. Why? Because my heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. That's what the Lord says in the book of Jeremiah, and I totally agree with what the Lord says. My heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. I know the good I ought to do. I know what I should do, but I often don't do it. I know I should be patient with other people, but instead I'm very impatient. I know I should be kind, but instead I'm rude. I demand my own way. I'm often irritable. I keep a record of when I've been wronged. I'm tempted to just give up. I lose faith. I'm not very hopeful that things will ever change in my life or in this world that we live in today. And I don't know if I'm able to endure and make it through every circumstance. What am I? I am often the exact opposite of what I should be. What should I be? I should be someone who is full of love. What kind of love? The love Paul talked about in the love chapter. You know the one that's often read at weddings? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me just remind you of those verses if you haven't read them or heard them in a while or haven't been to a wedding lately. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Paul says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and it endures through every circumstance. Am I the only one here today who at times feels defeated and discouraged? I don't think so. Well, who's someone in the Bible who felt perhaps defeated and discouraged? How about Peter? What do we know about Peter? Peter said that he would never deny the Lord. You know the story. In other words, he would endure through every circumstance. No matter what came his way, he was a fighter, he was a survivor, and he would be there for Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? let's kind of refresh our memory before the crucifixion. And here in Mark chapter 14, verses 30 and 31, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you even know me, that you even heard of me." "No," Peter declared emphatically. "Even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I will never deny you. I'm a Christian. I'm for you. I'm behind you. I'm with you, Lord." Well, what happened to Peter? We all know the story of what happened to him, but let's just read it to refresh our memory. In Mark 14, verses 66 through 72, "Meanwhile, Peter was in the courtyard below. One of the servant girls who worked for the high priest came by and noticed Peter warming himself at the fire. She looked at him closely and said, 'You are one of those who was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But Peter denied it. 'I don't know what you're talking about,' he said, and he went out into the entryway. Just then the rooster crowed. When the servant girl saw him standing there, she began telling the others, 'This man is definitely one of them. He's with Jesus.' But Peter denied it again. A little later, some of the other bystanders confronted Peter and said, 'You must be one of them because you are a Galilean.' And that's who we hung out with. Peter swore a curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man you're talking about." And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Suddenly, Jesus' words, they flashed through his mind. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you even know me." And he broke down and wept. And the question I have for you this morning is simply, what is it that is flashing through your mind right now? You may say, "Well, I'm thinking about a lot of things. I'm thinking about where we're going to eat here after service, right? Grandma's house or mom's house and the food and everything else." But seriously, what is it that you've been thinking about lately? Is it what happened on the way to church this morning in the car? Sometimes my wife and I will have the worst fights on the way to church in the car. Like, we're going to church. We're supposed to be Christians, and yet we're arguing. Right? That's just how it is. What is it that is flashing through your mind? What happened this last week? Or maybe it's what happened this last year in your life. What is the thing you regret the most in your life? And that's a deep question. We could just pause and ponder that one for a while. Maybe you're here and you're like, "This is too much for me to deal with on a Sunday morning. I wasn't prepared for all of this." But what is it? What is the thing you regret the most in your life? We saw this opening video of this young girl who said, "You know what? I regret having sex with this boy. I should have waited. I should have kept myself pure. Instead, I did something that I know the Lord wasn't pleased with me doing, and I regret that." What's the thing you regret the most in your life? Has it caused you to break down and weep? If it has, then you've come to the right place. Why? Because there is someone who wants to restore you and make you whole again. What is his name? What is his name? You know his name. His name is Jesus. Peter had reached a low point in his life. And maybe you're at a low point right now in your life. Things haven't been working out. And you're saying, "You know what? I can relate to Peter." Or in some way, form, or fashion, you could relate to the girl in this video. Peter had reached a low point. So what did he decide to do? He decided to do the thing that he does best. Go fishing. That's what he does best. And maybe some of you feel like, "Yeah, when I'm down or depressed or discouraged, that's what I do. I go fishing." However, he really wasn't even that great of a fisherman.
How do we know this?
Because he fished all night and he caught what? You remember the story? He caught nothing. He didn't have a fish finder, apparently. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, just died. I don't know what else to do. It seems like things are just terrible. I sold him out. I denied him three times. I'm just going to go fishing. The rest of the guys were like, you know what? We'll come too. They all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. Why didn't Peter catch anything? Why didn't they catch any fish? Because Jesus wasn't with them. Or so he thought. Why wasn't Jesus with them? Or Peter? Because Peter didn't think Jesus wanted to be with them. Not after what he did. He denied that he even knew the Lord. However, nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus loved Peter. Perhaps nothing seems to be working out in your life. Things aren't going according to your plan. And why is that? It's because Jesus isn't with you. Or so you think. Why isn't Jesus with you? Because you don't believe that he wants to be with you. However, nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus loves you. He not only wants to be with you, but live inside of you. How do we know that Jesus loved Peter? Well, because Jesus is standing on the beach. He's waiting for Peter. And just as he's waiting for Peter, he's waiting for you to come to him. Let's continue on verse 4. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples, they couldn't see who he was. You may not be able to clearly see Jesus right now in your life with everything that's happening and going on. You may not be able to clearly see Jesus with everything that's going on. Nevertheless, he's there. He's there. What exactly is he doing? He's waiting for you to put your trust in him. That's what he's doing. He's just waiting for you to put your faith and your trust in him. What will happen when you do this? When you put your faith in Jesus, believing that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose again on the third day, your boat, your life will no longer be empty but full. When you put your faith in Jesus, your boat slash life will no longer be empty but full. Let's continue on in our story here, verses 5 and 6. He called out, Jesus that is, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. What did Peter do when he saw what had happened? Right? He threw his net on the right-hand side of the boat, and all of a sudden, this net is just full of fish. I mean, how cool is that? When you go fishing, you want to make sure Jesus is with you, right? That's the lesson you learned today, right? That's what Ed taught me today. So I go fishing, make sure Jesus is there. Because the boat will be full. Right? That's why I haven't been able to catch fish. So here it is. What happened? What did Peter do when he saw what had happened? You know what he did. You know the story. He did something irrational. He put on his clothes and he jumped into the water, right? Most of the time when we go swimming, we take off our clothes and we jump into the water. Peter put on his clothes and he jumped into the water. Let's continue on. Verses 7 through 9. Then the disciple Jesus loved, that is John, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." He's the one on the shore, right? Because it can only happen with God that all of a sudden our boat is full and our life is full and everything changes. It's empty without Jesus. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. Why did Peter put on his clothes and jump into the water? Why would he do this? Because he thought he had to be properly clothed when he saw Jesus. What is it I want you to know? You and me will never be properly clothed on our own. Let me say that again. You and me will never be properly clothed on our own. Why? Because Jesus is the only one who can properly clothe us. Where did we learn this lesson? Well, we learned it from the high priest Jeshua in the book of Zechariah. Do you remember his story? Let's just look there briefly as we are in the middle of this story and just pause for a moment as we learn this lesson about how Jesus is the only one who can properly clothe us. Zechariah 3, verses 1 and 3. Through 4. Then the angel showed me Jeshua, talking to Zechariah here, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser, Satan, who's the one who's always accusing us before the Lord? Satan. Did you see what Ed did this last week? Did you see how he acted? Did you see what she did? How can you love him, Lord? How can you love her, Lord? The accuser, Satan, was there at the angel's right hand making accusations against Jeshua. And the Lord said to Satan, oh, I love this part. I, the Lord, reject your accusations, Satan. I reject those accusations. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Ed, who has chosen you, rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. Jeshua's clothing was filthy, as all of our clothing is. Filthy as he stood there before the angel. So the angel said to the other standing there, take off his filthy clothes. Take off the junk in his life. Yes, Lord Jesus, strip me of all my sin and my impurity and all of my junk. Take it off. And turning to Jeshua, he said, see, I have taken away your sins. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And now I am giving you these fine new clothes. You don't have to come in your own clothes or be worried about being properly clothed before me because on our own we cannot do it. But we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Not only does he give us strength, but he gives us the proper clothes. What is it I want you to know? Jesus wants to take away your sins. Amen? That's good news. And give you fine new clothes. Not only that, but he has prepared a meal for you. I don't know about you, but I like to eat. That's a good thing. He's not only taken away your sins and gives you fine new clothes, but he has prepared a meal for you. Why? Because he wants to have a relationship with you. When you sit down to eat with someone, they're a friend, right? You sit down and you eat with your family, you eat with your friends. Jesus has prepared a meal for you because he wants to eat with you. How do we know this? Because this is what he did for Peter and the disciples. He said, come on, come to shore here. I want to hang out with you guys. I know you're feeling low. I know you're feeling down. I know you're feeling discouraged and defeated today. But I want you to know I love you. And what Jesus said to Peter and his disciples is what he's saying to you today. The same thing. I want to eat with you. I want to spend time with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I love you. You are my child. I chose you. I snatched you from the burning fire and the garbage of this world to save you, to forgive you. Continuing on, verses 10 through 14. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. They knew it was Jesus. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. Did you hear that? He has been raised from the dead. How cool is that? What did Jesus do after breakfast, after he prepared this meal for them, hung out with them? He asked Peter if he loved them. He asked Peter after breakfast, do you love me, Peter? Why would he ask Peter this? Why would he ask him this? Because Peter claimed to love him more than anyone else. Remember how we started this journey? Peter declared emphatically, even if everyone else denies you, even if everyone else says they don't know you, I'll stand up for you, Lord. I'm a Christian. I'm there for you. How did Peter respond when Jesus asked him, do you love me, Peter? He responded with a spirit of humility. Peter realized that his love for the Lord wasn't as great as he thought it was. Nevertheless, and here's the key part, the Lord forgave Peter. How do we know this? Because he told Peter what he wanted him to do as his child. Listen, I've forgiven you, and I have a calling and a mission for you, Peter. And here it is. It's to feed and take care of my sheep. It's to feed and take care of my people. Verse 15 through 17. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Before the crucifixion, you said that you love me more than anyone else. Do you really? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. You know all things. You're God. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Well, what is it I've come to realize? I'm a lot like Peter. I profess to know and love the Lord. That's what I profess. I'm a Christian. However, my love for the Lord, it's not as great as I would like to think it is. How do I know this? One of the ways I know it is because my love for people isn't as great as I would like to think it is. Nevertheless, the Lord hasn't given up on me, and he hasn't given up on you. Let me say that again. The Lord hasn't given up on me, and he hasn't given up on you. What he told Peter to do is what he's telling you and me to do today. I want you to feed and take care of my sheep. How do we feed and take care of his sheep? By letting them know God loves them and he has forgiven them. No doubt there is someone in your life today, in your family, who you're going to eat lunch with today, or who you're going to see this week at work, who is hurting. much like Peter was hurting. And they need to know that God loves them and He has forgiven them. And He hasn't given up on them. And He not only wants to be with them, but He wants to live inside of them. And God has placed you where you're at, in your job, in your position, for a reason and a purpose. You may think, it's an accident. How did I get here? Nothing happens by accident. There is a reason and a purpose for everything that is going on in your life right now. And God wants to use what's going on in your life to make a difference in the lives of His children, the people who He loves, who need to hear that He loves them and He has forgiven them. Now, what's my biggest regret in life?
I have a lot of them.
I'm not going to share all of them here this morning, but there's a lot of them. I think my biggest regret is often my lack of love for others. It's my lack of love for others, for people in this world today. This crazy world that we live in. The people I sometimes see every day and yet rush by them. The lambs and the sheep that He says, feed them and take care of them. Spend time with them and develop a relationship with them. Don't be in such a hurry to do what you want to do that you overlook that person in line at Walmart or working at the register. That you miss them. Who is it that can give us a love for others? Who's the only one who can give us a love for others? It's not something I can do on my own or manufacture. Only the Lord can give us a love for others. In order to love others, you have to be able to love yourself. Well, where does love come from? It comes from God. He loves you, and He has forgiven you. So stop beating yourself up. Let go of the past, that thing that you are just holding on to, that has a grip on you, and that has changed everything about you from your countenance and your attitude and your life and your heart. Let go of it. Stop beating yourself up over it. It's time to move forward. God loves you, and He has forgiven you, and He has given you a purpose and a calling and a mission, and it's to make a difference in the lives of others. And we saw that with this young girl in this video. She said, you know what? There's a friend at my school who went through the same thing I did. And I want her to know that she is loved and that God forgives her. She used a bad thing that she did to make a difference in the life of someone else. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to use the things in our lives to be a blessing to someone else, to let them know that they're not alone. I guarantee whatever it is that you're dealing with this morning, whatever it is that you're struggling with, wrestling with, that's heavy on your heart, you're not alone. Satan wants you to believe that you're all alone and nobody else is dealing with what you're dealing with. Nobody else understands what you're dealing with. That's a lie. Jesus loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And He forgives you. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I've never asked Jesus into my heart. I've never asked Him to forgive me for my sins. Well, you know what? We're going to give you that opportunity here in a moment to start fresh, to start anew, for you to put on new clothes that He will give you and a new heart. He'll take that stony, stubborn, cold, indifferent heart and He will replace it with a new heart. And maybe you're here and you're saying, Ed, I need that because I don't like the person I've become. And I've tried to change, but I know in my own power and my strength, I cannot do it. But let me tell you this, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. All things are possible with God. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I'm a Christian. I profess to be a Christian. But after some of the things that I've said or done this morning or this past week or this last month to my spouse or to my coworkers or to my boss or in this relationship, I know I'm not living the way God wants me to live. I want to start over. I want to start fresh. But you know what? You can today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's powerful and it's convicting. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And maybe you're here this morning and some things have been uncovered that you tried to cover and hide. And the Lord is telling you, stop hiding. Whoever conceals their sins will not prosper. But if you confess them and turn from them, you will receive mercy and grace. It's time to come clean this morning. It's time to confess those sins to the Lord. Why? So that he may take them away and give you a fresh and a new start. And if that's what you desire here this morning, then I want to lead you in a prayer that you just pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just prayed that prayer, God will honor that prayer. If you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I haven't been living like one. I haven't been doing the things I know I should do. Would you pray for me? Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray not only for myself in this area, but for my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you would help us to live in such a way that is pleasing to you. Give us the desire and the power to do what is pleasing and right in your sight, Lord Jesus. And may we look to feed and take care of those people that you have placed in our path this week, that we may let someone else know that God loves them and he has forgiven them and he has a plan and a purpose for them just as he has for us. Use us, Lord Jesus, to make a difference in the lives of others that we may be a blessing and encouragement. We pray all this in Jesus' name.